Technorama episode 633, What's Your Boggle? Hey, welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighter look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek, as I am trying to feverishly push buttons over here and turn the title off. There we go. I am Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me right across from the virtual table is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing great. The weather's finally changed here.
What's it changed to?
From cold to decent.
Wait a week. It'll change. Nice.
And spring is on its way.
It was warmer in Michigan's Upper Peninsula yesterday than it was in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's not good.
Also joining us, as you can see on the live stream, are Ben and Keith from TG.
That's not new.
We've heard that
together
before.
You have Beth.
Keith, yes. Ben Keith from TG Ben. Geeks.
Yes, it was cold here yesterday. We're slamming all the doors and turned the heater up.
That's, you know, it's funny because in the Upper Peninsula, when it gets to be 50 in March, people are like, oh, get out the shorts and t-shirts.
Take the coats off.
Yeah. And Donna and I are outside walking in our winter jackets going, ooh, this is terrible.
I know. Anytime it's below 70 degrees, anytime it gets below 70 degrees, you start breaking out the heavy gear. I finally got to wear my Avengers jacket for the first time in over a year. I was thrilled.
She said,
I think it'll last you a long time then.
Well, as we were out walking, I said, this reminds me of the weather when we were dating, because it was spring and it was just starting to warm up and it was about this temperature and humidity and cloud cover. And I was like, oh, this reminds me, we should go get some pizza rolls and go to the Upper Harbor Breakwall and have lunch. She goes, don't remind me. I'm craving pizza rolls from Lake Superior Pizza in Marquette, Michigan. And I said, oh, I know how to fix that. How about some breadsticks from the port side? that's like the only thing that can top the pizza rolls in Marquette. And it's sort of like, oh, my elbow hurts. Well, I'll make you stop thinking about your elbows. You stomp on their foot. Now my foot hurts. You're not thinking about your elbow anymore, are you?
Exactly. Oh, well, there's always Postmates.
Doctor, it hurts when I do this.
Postmates from Michigan? That's a bit pricey.
Yeah. Just ship it. Hey, you know.
Yeah.
All right, shall we get into
my pants?
Not going to go there right now.
You knew as soon as you invited us.
Right.
It was going to go crazy.
There was a reason we invited you on the show. Let's do the feedback.
Letters. We get your letters. Is this a hoedown?
Oh boy.
Oh my.
Mail today.
We asked you last week, what the last thing you Googled is what kills you. So how did you die?
Oh dear.
Craig's going to pull up his page. I'll pull up my page and either one of
I
you.
I already know what mine is.
Okay. Well, how did you die?
I died at State Farm Stadium getting my COVID vaccine.
It was nice knowing you, Keith.
No!
I was killed by Superman and Lois.
Oh. He was knocking down a building or something by accident.
I'm collateral damage.
Eric Miller says letter of recommendation from former employee.
What? Yeah. Let's see.
That's the kind of recommendation I want.
Yeah. Gary Lindra says wiring a wireless charger. Wireless phone charger, excuse me.
Nikki, who I know is expecting, says I die of low potassium. Ooh, that's a bit morbid.
Wow.
And I said, oh, but if you watch Borat, you can go to Kazakhstan where they have greatest potassium in the world.
Yes.
Right.
What else you got?
John Miller Jr. said, recipe for an apple pie. Yeah. Gonna tempt fate here. Store bought it is.
It's Pi Day today, by the way. It Happy Pi Day.
It is. On this recording, anyway.
Weber, yeah, Weber right. Baker simply says, mm-hmm. He says, no, seriously, it's software. He dies of mm-hmm. That just sounds like an innuendo.
Right.
I was going to say, did you see Neil deGrasse Tyson's Twitter post today?
No.
No, I didn't.
He used all of his 252 characters to carry Pi out.
Oh,
brilliant. Nice. I love it. I want to copy and paste that into every app that I've got.
Yeah. Clinton Alvord said he died trying to figure out how to measure distances on Google Maps. Since clearly it gave me the wrong distance. And I fell off the end of the earth.
For personal reasons and PII and HIPAA, I'm not going to mention my sisters. Teresa says, moo moo. She was Googling moo-moo. For a moo moo.
Craig Glassner said, corned beef.
Ooh. Yeah, that'll kill me.
It was the salmon moose.
Moose.
Mary Bullock says,
I didn't have any
anomalies.
You didn't have any
on the corned beef and cabbage.
Lori Minigay said, oh, great. I just Googled my blood pressure, which was quite high. This must be the universe telling me to make a doctor's appointment.
Steve Vanderwine has started his out the same way. He says, oh, great. The Naples, Florida airport is going to be my demise.
Right. Your wife, Chuck, Donna said, tax rules. That'll kill anybody.
Death and taxes, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, did you pull them off the Technorama page? No, we did not.
Here's the Technorama. No, I got a bunch of them here. Okay. Our buddy Steve London said ServiceNow XML parser. It's not the sexiest search I know. Let's see, Derek Walker II said Linux time zone config for Arizona.
That what config? Them? You don't have to config anything. It doesn't change. Just set it and forget it.
And if you configure something, it's going to mess it up.
Exactly. My phone sprung forward last night. I'm like, how did that happen? And it says automatically get the signal from the carrier. It's like, thanks, Verizon. But no, I'm going to hard code it to Arizona.
Well, when I drove when I drove from your house, Chuck, to San Diego for work. As I was driving, I kept getting notifications that I was roaming. I'm like, hell, oh, it's because I was getting close to Mexico.
You do get close to Mexico.
Yeah.
If you drive down there.
If you're taking I-8
too close to, Mexico and you roam over onto the,
you can see into Mexico.
Yes, you can. Yeah. You can see the fence right after Yuma.
I tried not to make eye contact. I just kept focus. Ralph Wagner.
Did you Wangler's. See the pyramids out there?
The pyramids?
Yeah.
There's pyramids there?
On the other side of Yuma. Yeah.
Yeah, the dunes there. I mean, that's where they filmed Stargate. Crickets. Jeez.
I've seen Stargate. And
I'm trying to decide, are you messing with me or?
No, we're not. They filmed the movie plausible. Stargate in Yuma, Arizona.
Right.
Yep.
Just
the pyramids.
The pyramid sequence.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Ralph Wangler says Caribbean rough shark. So anyway, it was nice knowing him. Let's see. That's about all I got.
All right.
There's change rear wiper on a Chevy Trax.
Oops. Died from rear wiper. That doesn't sound good.
Pulling it off and hit him in the head.
All right, that's all we've got for this time, but we are going to ask another question at the end of the show, so get your pencils ready. We'll have it on social media as well. And Craig has automated that, so it's really nice. I don't have to think about that on Saturdays anymore. Woohoo! Yeah. All right, you ready for the history? You remember your order? Craig, Chuck, Keith, Ben. Craig,
me,
Chuck, Keith, Ben. We're going to find out who gets the winner names on this one.
I'm looking at mine.
On this day in history for March 17, 2021, it's the 76th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 289 days remaining in 2021. Go, Craig!
Okay, here we go. So it was on this date in 1852 that Annabelle de Gasperis, discovered... Shut up.
That was the closest you got, man. I'm leaving it alone.
Not saying anything.
Gasperis?
Okay. There's more to come.
All right. Discovered in Naples, the asteroid Psyche from the North Dome of the Astronomical Observatory in Capodimonte.
We'll go with that.
All right.
Okay.
It was also today in 1941 in Washington, D.C., the National Gallery of Art was officially opened by President Franklin D. Roosevelt.
And whose turn is it now?
Yours.
Oh.
If you have to ask.
I thought it was Craig and then me and then Ben and then you.
Craig, oh, well. Chuck.
Go for it.
Keith.
Take it.
On March 17th, 1947. First flight of the B-45 Tornado strategic bomber.
Also today, 1950, researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, announced the creation of Element 98, which they named Californium. And I've got raisins running through my head right now.
Oh, you gotta find it.
Gotta play it now.
When I saw that come up in the events, I knew this was gonna be a wonderful point in the show. For those that don't remember, you have to go back and listen.
All right, so is it my turn now?
Raisin things.
Yes, raisin things.
Raisin things.
I think Chuck's
the joke
crying.
That keeps on giving.
I can't see straight now.
Are you okay, Keith?
We broke Keith.
You're so red.
We need a new right. Keith. Go ahead, Craig.
Wow. Okay. Also on March 17th, 1958, the United States launched the first solar-powered satellite, which is also the first satellite to achieve a long-term orbit.
That must have been disappointing to throw a satellite up there and have it come back. Nope. What constitutes a long-term orbit? Whoops. More than a day?
Heads up, everybody.
March 17, 1966, off the coast of Spain in the Mediterranean, the DSV Alvin submarine found a missing American hydrogen bomb. That was also the same DSV that Dr. Robert Ballard used to find the Titanic.
Aha. Happy birthday goes out on this day to German engineer and businessman, co-founder Daimler Motoren Gesellschaft, Gottlieb Daimler, born on this date in 1834.
Are we allowed to say Gesellschaft on this show?
Careful.
Just did. Charles Dev Bush, the American businessman and philanthropist, co-invented the arc lamp, was born 172 years ago today.
How'd you like to be known as the co-inventor of a technology that doesn't exist anymore?
I know.
It still exists. Hey, he's 172. I don't think he cares.
Go, Craig.
So born March 17th, 1919, American singer, pianist, and television show host, Nat King Cole.
Unforgettable. James Irwin, the American colonel, pilot, and astronaut, was born that same date in 1930.
Oops. Keith. English-American chemist and toxicologist David Pical was born 90 years ago today.
American admiral, pilot, and astronaut Ken Mattingly is 85 today.
Also born on that same... Oh, I'm sorry, Craig. Go ahead.
That's okay. Also born on that same date in 1939, English sailor and first person to perform a single-handed, nonstop circumnavigation of the globe, Robin Knox Johnston.
American actor, director, and producer Patrick Duffy is 72. Well,
good heavens.
American actor, director, and bass player Gary Sinise, born on this date in 1955.
I didn't know the bass player part, but that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, there's a couple of scenes in CSI New York where he actually jams on the bass.
Lieutenant Dan can play the guitar.
That's right.
Also born on that same date in 1964, American actor and producer Rob Lowe.
Listener birthdays this week go out to Greg Lemon on the 18th, JT Shea on the 19th, our very own Michael R. Menengay is also on the 19th. Another podcaster, Crazy Joe Fiore from Mega Podtastic Canned Honey, I've got to see this. Oh, you've got to see this. Wow, that was just all mashed together. Is on the 21st. Happy birthday to him. More podcaster love goes out to Steve Rickyberg on the 23rd and Richard Parkman. I don't know if Steve has produced a podcast in a while, but once a podcaster, always a podcaster. That's the way it was for this day in history. Let me bring up the title to tell you how you...
February 17th, 2021.
You can get on the birthday calendar if you go to chuckchat.com/wiki or...
I think we need to update the date there.
I was just reading the
February? No. Hey, I skipped over it. Didn't you notice? March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day if you're listening to this on schedule. And I'm listening to the music in the background. We are out of time. But if you want to get on the birthday calendar, there's the URL on the bottom of the screen, chuckchat.com/wiki. Like professionals.
Yeah.
Except for the spitting part.
We always do that.
The Monty Python bit.
Yeah, that was Monty Python. All right, we have some news. I'm going to randomly pick a button.
Good news, everyone.
Good news, nobody.
Well, this isn't good news. We probably should have picked one of the gray
ones. Bad news, nobody.
There. I happened to pick the nobodies on both of those at random. That was fun. Ben, would you lead us into the first story?
Oh, let's see. The inventor of the cassette tape. Well, of course, if I can just get the stupid, it's not popping up. So, yeah, it's I can't get it to come up.
All right.
I don't know why. It's not coming up.
I'll do the first one.
Go for it, Craig. It has some fun words in here for you.
You're using your iPad. Great. Yeah, I'm using my iPad. It's not popping up.
The inventor of the cassette tape, Lou Ottens, passes away. So in the 1960s, Lou Ottens, then head of product development at the Belgian Halsat branch of Eindhoven company, Philips, developed the cassette tape. In previous years, Ottens was annoyed with green and yellow tape recorders with large reels and felt something more user-friendly and especially something smaller should be replaced. Should replace them. Anyway, Otten's invention was a great success worldwide. More than 100 billion cassettes have been sold since its launch in 1963, but the brands disappeared after the release of the CD, which was developed 20 years later by the same Ottens together. I didn't know that. With a team of engineers. The CD also became a hit, as we all know. Now they're not. Decades later, Ottens told Eindhoven's Dagblad. Is that a blog or something? Anyway, in the 1960s. That in the 1960s, he was completely unaware of the groundbreaking research he and his colleagues were doing. Well, no, we were little boys who were having fun. We didn't feel like we were doing anything big. It was kind of a sport.
Sort of like podcasting.
Right.
I got to show you this picture to the people that are watching on the stream. Hey. He's holding up the cassette to his eye. It's like he's doing an eye test, but he's using the cassette. Yeah. Is it better one or better two? He's looking through the hole. I'm not sure what he's doing.
Well, but. I posted on Facebook that he single-handedly reinvigorated the pencil industry.
Yes. Yeah. For rewinding.
Rewinding.
Exactly.
Never mind.
Boy, I tell you what, I had a love-hate.
Exactly the spot you want.
Yeah. I had a love-hate relationship with cassettes. They're great, but for the things I was doing, I ended up breaking them, or they would always get, stretched, or especially metal tapes. Remember those? They started getting different types.
Chromium oxide.
Yeah, I used to use those all the time.
And then you have the cassette tape player eat one of them, and you didn't know until it had already eaten up 6 feet of it.
Right. I know, right?
The favorite part.
Woke up this morning.
Yeah, it's just like that.
That's exactly right. How many times have you been walking down the road as a younger you, and you're walking down and you've seen cassette tapes tangled on the side of the road?
Thrown out, actually. And it's just like streams of that.
Yeah, it's like somebody went, oh, dang it, and threw it out the window.
Someone had a mad fit.
And it's just, there's yards of it just down the highway blowing in the breeze.
Yeah, just kind of waving.
Yep.
Funny that you don't see those anymore. I wonder why.
I've got a few left. We could start a tradition.
DVR entrails or cut up
entrails.
Cassette entrails. That's what it should be
called. Oh boy.
That's a lovely picture.
We salute you, Lou Ottens. Thank you for your years of frustration.
Yes.
Okay. Keith, would you like to...
Hey, by the way, let's don't get started on video cassettes.
No.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get started on that.
Raise your hand if you're happy that we don't have those anymore.
At least with audio cassettes, you could sort of extract the remains of the entrails. Video cassettes were sort of hidden in this cavern of mystery, and if the tape was stuck, you had no choice but to pull or go in with a screwdriver, remove the case, and be your own repairman.
Well, video cassettes, if they were wrinkled, like a crinkled or something, it's not that you can just get by with just the audio. You actually see it goof up on the screen.
Well, yeah, because it was a helical scan, and it moved very slowly. That's how they got a lot more data on there. It wasn't a linear scan like a cassette.
Right.
The head was offset. It was tilted a little bit if you ever looked in there. So it was laying down multiple tracks like in this diagonally sliced pattern. And even if you had, 4 inches of damage, you're watching it for about 12 seconds going, yeah, this is nice. Static but then it comes back.
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah,
I got good at imitating bad audio. Okay,
and this in from Eureka Alert: pigs show potential for remarkable level of behavioral mental flexibility in new study. Pigs will probably never be able to fly, but new research is revealing that some species within the genus Sus may possess a remarkable level of behavioral and mental flexibility. A study published in Frontiers in Psychology. Oh, God, somebody's studying pigs. Jeez.
I studied one for dinner tested tonight.
The ability. They tested the ability of four pigs to play a simple joystick-enabled video game. Each animal demonstrated some conceptual understanding despite limited dexterity on tasks normally given to non-human primates to analyze intelligence. The study involved two Yorkshire pigs named Hamlet and Omelette.
I love the name. I have a friend at work who names her chickens. She's got pet chickens in her yard, and she names them like Tika and Nuggets.
Oh, no.
Nuggets!
They're all named after things you would eat chickens for. Ha. It's wonderful.
Hey, sandwich, come here.
Right.
I got to call it Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
And Hamlet and Omelette, and two Panapinto micro pigs, Ebony and Ivory.
Oh,
all four animals were trained to approach and manipulate a joystick with their snouts in front of a computer monitor during the first phase of the experiment. They were then taught how to play a video game in which the goal was to move a cursor using the joystick toward up to four different target walls on the screen. Each pig performed the task well above chance, indicating the animal understood that the movement of the joystick was connected to the cursor on the computer screen. Well, my cat knows that the cursor on the is connected to my hand. Yeah.
All right.
Even a cat knows that.
Got the high score.
The fact that these farsighted animals with no opposable thumbs could succeed at the task is remarkable, in quotes, according to the researchers. It's no small feat for an animal to grasp the concept that the behavior they are performing is having an effect elsewhere. That pigs can do this to any degree should give us pause as to what else they are capable of learning and how much learning may impact them, said lead author Dr. Candace Crony. I wonder if she has any cronies. A professor at Purdue University and director of the Purdue Center of Animal Welfare Science. Sarah Boyston, known for her work in chimpanzee cognition, co-authored the study. The pigs are capable of various types of learning, and they come and sit to more complex behaviors and require them to.
Hey, you know what? Study. We could launch these guys on a spaceship.
Exactly.
Ben got it.
Hey, I was just hoping they don't become self-aware and realize how well they taste.
All I know is that I've got guilt because I had a bacon cheeseburger for dinner.
They start ordering DoorDash.
Hey, who ordered $100 of the food? It's the pig in there with the joystick.
These are great ribs.
Yeah, skipping on down, it said the study ended before the researchers could investigate a more ambitious goal, whether such a computer interface using symbols could be employed to communicate with the pigs more directly, as has been done with non-human primates. Informing management practices and improving pig welfare was and still is a major goal. But really, that is a secondary to better appreciating the uniqueness pigs outside of any benefit we can derive from them, Cronin said, except for how well they taste.
The magical meat. Clinton says, I hope they did not explain the names to the pigs. Hamlet and omelet.
That's right.
Hamlet and omelet.
We're well aware of our nomenclature. John Miller Jr. got the pigs in space also. Very well done. Thank you for catching the reference. Ben, do you have your notes working yet?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to click through to our Hubble story?
Yes. NASA's Hubble Space Telescope resumed observations March 11th after a software error placed it in a protective safe mode several days earlier, but the incident is a reminder of the telescope's mortality. NASA said Hubble resumed observations at 8 p.m. Eastern, March 11th, more than 4.5 days after a software error caused the spacecraft to go into safe mode, suspending normal operations of the nearly 31-year-old space telescope.
31?
It needed a break. It needed a break. I'm going to have some coffee.
Was it running solar winds?
The software error was traced to an agency statement called an enhancement. Recently uploaded to the spacecraft. The enhancement was intended to compensate for fluctuations from one of the telescope's gyroscopes, but a glitch in the software caused a broader problem with Hubble's main computer triggering the safe mode early March 7th.
This is straight out of Star Trek. I'm attempting to compensate for the fluctuations of the telescope's gyroscopes.
Controllers resolve the problem for now by disabling that software enhancement and plan to correct the flaw and test the new software further before uploading it again.
Oh, they have version control. They were able to back it out.
Yeah. I don't know. This is beginning to remind me of that TV series that Keith and I hated, Scorpio.
Scorpion.
Oh, God.
Oh, Scorpion. Oh, so
what
are you going
to do? Send a shuttle up there and then one just run an enormous Cat 5 cable down to Earth? Yeah. Do the upload that way.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Actually, when you said it went into safe mode, I was just thinking they're like, oh, nobody's there to press the F1 key to go continue.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Yeah.
I can't find the any key on the side of the Hubble.
Right.
Which key?
It says any. That the
where's the any key?
Wide field camera number 3, quote, experienced an unexpected error. That's troublesome.
That's usually how errors work, isn't it? Unexpected.
Are there any expected errors? Well, yes, there are.
Okay.
I mean, there are.
Yes.
You could have expected
results.
NASA did not elaborate on the error, but said that observations using the instrument will remain on hold as engineers study the problem. The spacecraft's other instruments, including a camera and 2 spectrographs, are functioning.
Stop uploading the Boeing 737 MAX code to the Hubble.
Yeah. Actually, the problem was the tape got tangled up and they had to.
Is that it?
Hey, 31 years ago. Yeah, they had to send up a pencil. It was loaded from a Commodore 64.
My God, how many people get that joke?
We were just talking about it. Lou Ottens.
Yeah.
There's cassette entrails dragging behind the.
Yeah, but how many people actually know the trick about the pencil, though?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I see that meme on Facebook all the time, you know, where you see this tangled mess of a cassette tape and then you see this pencil and it's like, if you know what to do with this, you're an old fart.
We need to put one on the wall right there, right behind, right next to the switch, a cassette, a pencil, and some entrails hanging down.
Yes.
Right. That's what's missing.
And then maybe a 45 little, you know, the little
The insert for the spindle?
The insert for 45 RPM, yeah.
Then you should go there too. I have one, but it's only a black hockey puck. You wouldn't recognize it on the wall. It has to be one of those circular curvature yellow ones.
With the three prongs.
One. Yes.
Yeah, you ever see those? I know you're talking about those Facebook posts where it says, share this if you're old enough to understand what this is. I'm like, yeah. And just keep scrolling.
I'm going to get out one from like the 1800s of an old lathe or something.
Oh my God.
A sextant. Hey, do you know what?
If you know what this is, you're old.
The nails they put Jesus to the cross. If you know what these are.
If you know what these are. You're a heretic.
Yeah, you're exactly.
I'm just seeing how far back we can go. You know, a T-Rex tooth.
Well, we watched The Mummy the other night, so.
Yeah.
I did see something on the internet, one of the internets, that said that if you, when the pyramids were first being built in 2609, and you had $0 and you decided to save $10,000 every day and you were an immortal, today you would have 1/5 of the top 5 wealthiest people in the world. You would have 1/5 of their wealth.
Nice. What,
after 4,600 years.
That's what happened to the guy, Highlander, right? He just,
yeah.
So Jeff Bezos has a time machine is what you're saying.
A time machine.
Yeah.
Yes.
He went back and invested because
actually it's funny. He does have a time machine. Remember he's building that clock in the mountain.
Yep. The pyramids were built by aliens.
I want a TARDIS because I want to go to alien worlds as well as in time and space.
I want a TARDIS too.
Yeah. Sign us all up.
It would unlock so many lies about how we portray history. Wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Would it?
It certainly was.
It might.
All right. History is written by the winners, you know.
Pretty much is. Let's give a quick shout out to our chat room. I'm going to head on over to Facebook and scroll through and see what names we see. We have Dhruv Gupta watching us on YouTube. We had some other people, but they bailed. Who else do we have?
Sorry.
I'm rude. It's us.
Let's see. We have John Miller.
Oh,
Jr.
Not those two gay geeks again.
Oh, you were on there and you said, I'm not watching this.
Yeah. They're like, oh, wrong channel.
Clinton Alvord is on YouTube. John Miller Jr. on YouTube. Do you see anybody else, Craig?
No.
I think everybody else is watching. What's
on Facebook?
The Grammys Facebook. Tonight? Yeah, sorry, Facebook. Grammys are tonight? Something's tonight.
Yeah.
The Spammies? What?
That must be where everybody's
Hammies?
Right. Yeah, the Hammies.
They're looking to see if you're going to get a Grammy for your karaoke Saturday night, Chuck.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be a riot, wouldn't it?
All right.
Let's see.
That's I'm our knocking Patreon on your door button. Let's with go. This gigantic check.
One of those big cardboard checks that you... I want to bring one of those to the bank. Yeah. Let's see. We have the Contact Us? Sure, we'll go with Contact Us. Get in touch, 707-530-2428. You can watch us live on Sunday nights, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, or whatever that translates to your time zone. We'd love to see you there. The next thing on the show notes, as he's flipping across many, many, many things, is the patrons. Oh, my favorite part of the show.
Is it?
It is, because we get to give a shout out to the people who finance this show. Goodness knows we had some expenses in 2020 and you people came through for us. None of it came out of our pockets. And the bank account continues to do well and get prepared for 2021 because there are more things coming. I think our domain registration is next year. But anyway, and we pay for it like in 5-year blocks. So it is what it is. Thank you very much, everybody who contributes to the patrons. Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, we love you all. Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dan D-Man Coyer. These are just a few of the people that donate as little as $1 a show. And not only do they get their names enshrined on the show, they get a free episode of just raw, unedited backstage talk with the crew. in a special feed. So you won't want to miss that.
Yes.
But wait, there's more. Danny Mortensen, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, Harold McKinstry. You thought we were done? No, not even close. John Clifford, John Noble.
John Noble?
Yes, that Jorga Schrawen. Christina, Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Mike Wills, Chris Martinez, Saturday Morning Media, still wondering who would name their child Saturday, Stephen Weshey, Steve Therian, a blank space here for your name. We need somebody to fill that in. Craig's OCD is going nuts again. Steve Cody, and of course, sweet Steve London from Sweden. We appreciate and love you all. We know that money's been tight this last year for many of you, and it is a great, great honor to be able to take yours. No.
Yeah. We laugh about it every time.
All the way to the bank. If you want to be part of this insanity, let me scramble back over here, turn that title off, and get the Patreon title. You can go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast, and for, as I mentioned before, as little as a dollar a show. We skipped a week, you don't pay that week. That's how it works. We produce a regular episode right after we record an episode just for our patrons. Sometimes it's educational. Sometimes it's entertaining. Sometimes we just run around in circles screaming.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes it's not.
So we invite you to be part of that fun and insanity. Hey, hey, hey.
That's not funny, Ben.
Here we go. Into the 12-year-old humor. And that's going to lead into our question of the week at the end of the show. So hang on for that. You won't want to miss that. Let's stop the Imperial Rock Band. And I believe...
Imperial Rock Band.
It's like an Imperial Pale Ale.
Yeah.
It's twice as good as a regular Pale Ale. No. Something. Turn that title off. And we have... Have you gentlemen been on the show since we've had the Pass Me the Remote segment?
No.
Okay.
What the heck is that?
I think you may
have seen that. We can't have it.
We're going to talk about a TV show or movie we watched recently and just give our opinions. This is kind of like the Media Corner, but this is something we got. So we just decided to call this Pass Me the Remote. So I've got the remote, and I finished watching The Expanse. I started watching seasons 1 and 2 several years ago, but then stopped for whatever reason. Maybe something else got in the way. Maybe it disappeared from sci-fi. Maybe... It showed
out of your head.
It wasn't on Amazon.com, but recently we had T. Morris on the show a few episodes back, and he encouraged me to get started on that, and I could not stop watching. It was nonstop storytelling. Got a little long in some parts. I think it was season 3 or 4 when they were on the planet going, come on, move it along. But Ben, Keith, have you watched The Expanse?
We tried. I think the first 3 episodes, and it just didn't grab us.
It wasn't doing anything for us.
Season one is a big setup because they're building up to the proto matter. This is the strange alien blue goo that does weird things and makes people transform, and that becomes the basis for the story pretty much through most of season 4 into season 5, and it's all about who's got control and what is it? Is it a weapon? Is it a we have to test and find out, but everybody who tests, I'm not going to ruin too much of the storyline, but I really enjoyed it. It reminded me a lot of the Ronald D. Moore Battlestar Galactica, because they were always...
Which, admittedly, I was never a fan of.
Really? Okay.
No, never liked it.
That's probably why The Expanse didn't resonate either. It is a space drama centered around the crew of the Rocinante. So it involves, I don't have the characters' names here, but it's Alex, who's the pilot. There's the fighter guy, Amos, who's kind of like the Jane character, you know, big rough guy. But this guy is a little deeper and darker and creepier because... He doesn't really, not only doesn't he express any emotion, but he doesn't really have any remorse. Like, well, yeah, that guy deserved to die. I'm like, whoa, okay. You just punched him in the face till he died. so sort of psychopath. Naomi, who's the engineer, don't think this is a parallel for Firefly, because you know she's not that cute bubbly girl like Kaylee was. She's more of a hardcore. The beginning story is about this conflict between Mars, the people who went and settled Mars, the Earthers who think that and the perception of each other. So this is very much an allegory for different races, different tribes, different cultures. And then there's the Belters, who were sent out to work in the belt and mine these minerals, and all the wealth and everything goes back to Mars and Earth, who are paying for these expeditions. But meanwhile, they've developed their own culture. They've developed their own language. It almost sounds kind of Jamaican, but it really is a fascinating story about these different cultures and their perception and the carrying of power initially, who's got the power, but then they start discovering in the second and third seasons what actually happens and learning more about this proto-matter material as the story unfolds. I loved it. Out of, what are we rating these? Till 10? Was it 5 or 10? I can't remember.
Yeah, let's go with 10.
Okay, it was to 10. Yeah. I'm going to give this a solid 9 in my book. I love the storytelling. Wow. I would not recommend sitting close to an HD TV though.
We never do.
Yeah, I got a 55 inch here in the studio. When you sit too close, it's a bit like when you go to a play and you sit too close to the stage and suddenly you lose the story and you see the actors.
Right.
And you see, you know, it's like I can see their makeup, I can hear their footsteps on the stage as they dance around. It takes you out of the story and makes them people instead of characters. That's kind of what happened when I was too close to the screen watching The Expanse. It was almost like it became one of those 1970s soap operas where you felt like the stage suddenly became fake and you're too close to the action. I'm like, okay, back
that's
off.
Interesting.
It was an interesting effect because I hadn't felt that watching television in a long time, but the sharpness of the picture and being that close, when the camera would move and the background would move and the characters would move, like, this is just not right. This isn't how I should watch TV.
Right. Okay. it was
a funny thing that I noticed. It's not specific to this show, but I just happened to notice while I was watching this show. So I liked it. You can find it. I put a link in there to IMDb. It is on Amazon. Currently, all 5 seasons are available. And like I said, I could not stop watching. I would do like 4 or 5 in a row and just blow my whole evening for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. We're rewatching several things right now and watching something new for the first time as well.
So, well, tell us what are you watching?
Well, we picked up because my sister recommended this. It's Father Brown. It's with Mark Williams, who was in Red Dwarf and Harry Potter series, and actually did 2 episodes of Doctor Who. His birthday is this week as well, so that's why that kind of came up. But we're rewatching Babylon 5 and rewatching Fringe.
Fringe as well as Star Trek Enterprise.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but be careful. Don't watch Fringe while you're eating.
Why is that?
I'd forgotten. There are a lot of very disgusting scenes in that series.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. In Walter's lab or?
Oh, yeah. No, people being operated on by one guy who turned out he was a plant for the FBI. He's got something going on inside. They think it's his heart. And when they open him up, there's this mass that is growing that's got teeth on it.
I completely forgot about that.
Plant. Okay. Was he a fern or?
Yeah. I am a Diefenbachia.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you were talking about Enterprise. When I was watching that on Netflix, I tried to see if I could skip the intro fast enough. All I would get was, "It's a long road."
Yes. the skip intro button.
Yeah. I hit skip intro. Yeah.
We're watching it on Amazon Prime, so I just keep hitting the remote on our Apple TV. So I goes,
I'm watching season 3 of Voyager. So Enterprise is next and I'm watching it on Netflix currently, but I'll probably switch over to CBS or Paramount Plus soon. And when they start up the sound,
be careful.
Yes.
Be careful of that because it tends to skip episodes.
Yep.
Paramount does. We were doing that. We were watching Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
And it was just randomly taking us to different episodes throughout the series.
Well, that's nasty.
I don't know. Maybe now that it's upgraded to Paramount Plus, it won't do that anymore.
It looks like they just it's the same app. I think they just reskinned it. I'm really disappointed that they didn't reappraise or reassess.
It needs some. What I hate is when I click search and then you have to click in the area to start typing. You know, I'm like, if I click search, just put the focus there so I can start typing. I don't have to. I'm sorry, I'm griping.
And speaking of how evil Paramount Plus is, because it is evil, it does not have every single Star Trek movie there.
I know, they've got like three.
Yeah. And they say, we have all the Star Trek properties.
I know, they do not have all the Star Trek films. I'm very upset about.
I did the same thing. I went in, I was like, okay, let's see what all they got. Wait, this is the same stuff that was on CBS All Access.
I've got more DVD than they have online.
Mm-hmm. And they were advertising the fact that they had all Star Trek. No, they don't. It's a lie. No,
they have all the series, but they don't have all the movies.
Yeah.
We're in season three of Enterprise, and
we're in the middle of the Zindi War, which is a little ponderous.
So we only watch one episode at a time now. Every couple of days, we'll watch an episode.
That's kind of how I am on Voyager as well. It's
there were days in Voyager we would mainline like three or four of them in a shot because I actually think Voyager is a lot better than I originally gave it credit for.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Well, except for the awful the Kazon at the beginning.
The Kazon are disgusting. I'm glad they got rid of them.
Whenever they show up, I'm like, oh, come on,
get a comb.
Hair?
What the hell is with that hair?
They were the most unbelievable of villains.
I couldn't look at anything else. I didn't watch the story. What's it? What is with this hair?
The subtitles on, I'm missing the entire story. I'm sorry. I can't. I didn't hear a thing because your hair was too loud.
I couldn't wait for Seska to die.
Oh, I know. You and me both. She has the nerve to come back at a later episode. How dare she?
Well, no, she's actually dead now in my time.
No, I know. No, she actually will come back one more time. How dare she? But she does come back one more time.
Yep. It's your child, Chakotay. No, it's not.
Not really.
Sorry, no. Spoiler alert, in case you didn't watch it in 1997.
Exactly. I didn't care for Kes. She's
actually not as intolerable as I remember, at least up to the beginning of season three. I thought she was better than I remember.
When she left, Neelix got interesting, and it was a better show.
True. But unfortunately, Kes will make one final return. Mm-hmm. And she's terrible. And her character makes absolutely no sense at all when she does that.
Yeah. And I think that's what most people remember is how she ended, not how she. It's kind of like the Nixon administration, right?
Exactly.
Right.
What do you remember? Oh, I'm not a crook. And he got, he resigned because of the Watergate scandal, but he did a lot of good stuff while he was there going to China and whatnot. So
that's true.
We'll leave that
one. Only Nixon could go to China.
That's an ancient Vulcan proverb.
Holding on proverb.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right.
It's like reading Shakespeare in the original Klingon. Yeah. Who knew?
And we asked, what else is better than in the original Klingon? What was that, a show or two ago? We had that as our listener question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What else would be interesting is from the original Klingon?
Fine cuisine.
Gawk.
Yeah.
All right. Should we do the media corner or should we move on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I saw this title in the media corner and I thought of Jack Mangan. So let's play the media corner thingy somewhere in here. There it is. Just so Ben and Keith can have one more laugh at my expense.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here.
Videos and things.
There we are. Craig, I think it's your turn maybe or maybe not.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll talk about this one. So this is a web comic from Andrew Weingarner, and it's not just a comic. It's not just a web comic, but it's also a comic book adaptation of Star Wars: Duel of Fates, which was what the Star Wars from Colin Trevorrow was going to be. you know, the script was famously leaked online, which would have been what The Last Jedi would have been, or was in that slot for that to be that movie. Of course, they changed gears and, you know, they didn't make this movie. So the script, it got leaked. You know, this guy since last March has been creating a fan comic book, and you can scroll through the top. I think I forget what pages he puts at the top. I think there's more current ones. But if you scroll down, you can read the entire thing. And he's not done yet. I think he's still moving along, but he did a great job. This is really good in adapting this comic. So I know it's not great for audio podcasts, but I encourage you to go over there and check it out, because he's done a lot of great work, and it was kind of fun to read.
It's got to be better than what they did put out.
Right.
Yeah. I make no bones of the fact that I detested The Last Jedi.
Artwork in here looks pretty good, I got to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did a great job. Upside down world.
Jack may be able to get some royalties off of the title, though, because Jack Mangan had his podcast and what was it, a writing series called Duel of the Fates years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That's still out there. I did a Google search and went, wait, this title sounds really familiar. So I Googled it, and sure enough, still there.
So here, I'll read this little paragraph right here. So he said, like many fans, I was disappointed with Rise of Skywalker and retread of Return of the Jedi. That didn't seem to follow the trajectory of the story set up by The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. I was thrilled with Colin Trevorrow and Derek Connolly's Duel of Fates. I'm sorry, I mixed that up. It was supposed to be the last movie, but they changed it to Rise of Skywalker. Both the script and the amazing pre-production artwork, which he's got linked to those, which I incorporate into my own adaption. Having read the Duel of the Fates, I can state that I enjoy it much more than the Rise of Skywalker. My hope is that seeing the script visually is my free webcomic adaption will help people understand or know or what it should have been. This is the biggest issue with the Rise of Skywalker is that Rey's agency was completely taken away, both as a character and as a woman. So anyway, go check it out. Like I said, the whole thing's on there. It's pretty fascinating.
Interesting that he's got the there's somebody there's got the black saber. It looks like Ren.
Colin Ren. It does.
Yeah, it looks like he's got the black saber that is associated with the Mandalorian.
Yes. The dark saber. Yeah, that was
the dark saber.
Yeah, it's in the Mandalorian. It's also in Rebels.
Yeah, Rebels. Or the series preceding that.
Mm-hmm.
Clone Wars.
It was cool to see in the Mandalorian. Yeah. They broke it out.
Oh, God. Ooh. Yeah. I was very happy about that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
All right. Last one. We have a geek library here. So hang on. There we are. Something we will not be spending your Patreon money on. There's some new high-tech dice for all of you significant D&D people.
Maybe Ben and Keith need some of these because they didn't have their own dice.
I was thinking that.
Wait, I'm getting to the punchline of this joke. Hold on. Sometimes it's nice to get away from technology for a bit, settle down with some friends, and play an entire role-playing game using just pen, paper, and lots of dice. But if that's a little lo-fi for you, then there's always Pixels, a new set of electronic dice with the built-in Bluetooth and RGB LED lighting. The dice have launched on Kickstarter with prices starting at $39. That's for one. That's for one die. As of this writing, over 14,000 people have, well, I did a little checking, and it's considerably higher than that now. We are up to, 16,753.
Wow. That's backers.
That's the backers.
They were looking for $20,000 or $200,000, and they got $2.3 million so far.
Yeah, that's a lot of people, and there's still 24 days to go. Now, the main attraction here is obviously the colorful RGB lighting, which creator Systemic Games promises will be customizable and programmable via a companion app on your mobile device. The pixels are also waterproof. Charge wirelessly. That was the question I had, is what do you do about dead batteries? But okay. Via companion charging cases. Oh, great. You can't just throw them on a Qi charger. Right. How much is that? And go for around
$75.
Five hours on a charge. That's not even a whole game. Okay. So you roll the die, and then the number not only shows up on the die, but it shows up on the mobile app as it's rolling still. It'll go 16. Yeah. So your
how does it go again? Okay. I just want to be sure.
Yep.
Hey, that's
just
what
like
my
that.
Dice do.
I want sound effects on this thing.
Too fast. It's like making me crazy. I have to scroll away from it.
Yeah, it is a speeded up video. So they range in styles, of course, D20, D12, D10, D8, D6, and D4, what you'd expect out of a normal pack. But for me, the most interesting thing about the dice is how they'll apparently be able to communicate with Roll20, Foundry, and other online platforms that let you play tabletop games over the internet. Okay, that's pretty cool, because that's just cool. At the moment, a service like Roll20 relies on either visual dice rolls or rolling a traditional dice and then reporting back to your games master. In contrast, the pixels could offer the best of both worlds by letting you roll a physical die and automatically reporting the result. I'm up for that. That actually sounds kind of fun. But the fact is, if you want the whole set, it's going to set you back $200 on the Kickstarter, and who knows how much after it's live. So I don't even know if that includes the charger. So there's a lot of people out there that have some discretionary spending if they've already got their $2 million.
Yeah, it does include the charging case.
Oh, thank goodness.
So did you mention that we're Bluetooth?
Yes, Bluetooth. So you communicate with the device, and then when you're hooked up to Roll20, it will send the signal there.
And there was I saw the guy rolling, well, the little anime GIF, and he was rolling and you'd see the number pop up on the phone.
Yep. That was where the blah, 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 blah came from. Weren't you listening to the sound effects?
No, I was too busy looking at the number of money they
There's
got.
The other sound effect.
Number of money.
Yeah.
What?
What's that sound again?
Bluetooth. Yeah. I have green tooth.
I got Bluetooth.
I have blue threeth. Anyway, okay, that brings us to the end, and we have our question of the week. All right, I want you to think real hard, people. What would 12-year-old you never believe about adult you?
That we were still doing this podcast.
Since
we were 12.
In a house that has a studio. I don't think my 35-year-old me would believe this.
Yeah.
I feel like we started this podcast when I was 12. Now I'm 52.
I feel like some elements of it are still for our 12-year-old me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. As exhibited in this show, this very show.
12-year-old me probably wouldn't have bet on marrying a wonderful woman like Donna and still being married 30-plus years later.
Yeah.
That would be a safe bet. I mean, wait, sorry. No.
What?
Not even sure what? Girlfriend was anywhere near that radar at 12 years old.
Mine would be, how did you get so fat and old?
Hey,
I have no idea. I got to really think about it.
Hey, older you, where's your hair?
Yeah,
exactly. No, I pretty much at that point. My uncle had started losing his hair when he was 18 and was razzed about it. And I refused to be serious about my hair, and because it started thinning early on. So it wouldn't surprise me that I had no hair.
That's where my adult you goes back to the 12-year-old and says, nice pants.
Right.
Exactly.
Shut up, smart aleck. Craig, any initial thoughts on this one?
That there was actually 9 Star Wars movies.
You actually will be a radio DJ star in your mind.
Yeah.
It's called a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was saying. I felt like I was 12 when we started the podcast, and I'm surprised we're still doing it. I remember when I was a kid. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, my problem is that I look back when I was 12 and keep thinking, I don't think there's anything about me now that I would not believe back then.
I think it would be amazing. I mean,
maybe
it's
unexpected, but I wouldn't say, oh, I don't believe that'll ever happen.
Oh, they'll never be wearing masks around and worrying about catching. Yeah.
No, I would have been thinking like, oh, will they? I mean, but I never, at no point would I ever think of, I cannot believe that would happen, or I can't believe we would have this in our world. I don't think there's anything like that. I mean, I just value
the
most possible future, you know, whether it was technology or whether it was my own life.
Yeah. Well, I remember watching, what was it, something on PBS, and they were talking about in the future, we'll be doing video calls and stuff. And I kept looking forward to that day. And it's just kind of snuck up on me, and I didn't really realize, but you know, we've been doing this, especially now, of course, with Zoom. Like the other day, Chuck was talking about sharing his screen. I think it was on our last show. I was listening to it a little bit, and you were talking about sharing screen. I was like, how common that is, but how hard it was to do even 10, 15 years ago.
Well, and the complexity of the technology, if you step back and a lot of these things that we do and we take for granted, back and think about them, they're amazing that they work at all.
Yeah. You know, it's maybe true. We should have talked about that on our Patreon show, by the way.
We could do that. I think 12-year-old me would be looking at and saying, because I hadn't even discovered or tapped into the computer interest in my psyche yet until 14 or 15 years old. So, but I did have sort of a mathematics and like writing encrypted messages to my friends, you know, that kind of thing had already been around.
Nobody would be able to read this in pig Latin.
The signs were there, you know, the sci-fi geek. I mean, we were watching Battlestar Galactica at that age. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the writing was on the wall. So it wasn't a huge leap forward. So like Ben said, it's not unbelievable. But it would have been one of those, wow, I can't wait to get there moments.
Yeah, I think that's the way it was for me when I was 12. I don't think there was anything. Like I said, I don't think there was a single thing that anybody could have thrown at me and said, this is what your life's going to be like when you're 59 years old.
Yep.
You know, okay. You know, yeah. So it is.
Sweet. Sign me up.
John Miller Jr. said he didn't know, he'd have hard time believing that he'd be working on a third college degree. Wow. Third.
Yeah.
There is one thing that I would say my 12-year-old me would not believe, and that would probably be third degree black belt. Like, I had no interest in martial arts until I was actually exposed to it and went, hey, this is pretty cool. This is pretty fun. It's interesting.
Somebody exposed themselves to you?
No.
What?
It's like film being exposed.
You were exposed to it. Oh, that's different. Sorry.
It's like exposing your film. It's just ruined at that point.
Is that code?
Yes, it's a.
That's your double entendre there.
Your Freudian.
I'm going to expose some film to you.
Yeah, now we're talking in code.
See, I was doing coded messages as a kid too. There's the 12-year-old coming out of the show again.
I think I would understand.
Yeah, the song. Yeah, the juvenile.
And that note, we're going to say farewell to you, dear listener. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Ben and Keith. Tell them where they can find you.
Thank you. At tggeeks.com.
You don't even need a URL shortener for that one, people.
Nope.
No kidding.
Nope.
That's pretty straightforward.
It is.
If you want to get a hold of us, let me put that contact information back on the bottom of the screen. Contact us on the listener line, 707-530-2428, or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. We did have a feedback from Mad Marv, which I think we'll get to in the Patreon show, because he was talking about a Patreon topic, so we'll keep the discussion there.
We can't tell everybody.
No, it's secret. You want to be part of that conversation, you got to join the secret club. So, $1 a week, patreon.com/technoramapodcast. And with that note, thank you once again, gentlemen, for participating. Thank you, Craig, for putting the show together. You get all the show notes and whatnot. And I just sit here and punch a bunch of buttons like an insane person. The man
like a pig earlier.
Yeah.
Pushing the joystick around.
throw him a piece of corn. Welcome to the pig cast.
Yeah. Throw him a piece of corn. He'll be all right.
It's lovely. Slop the pigs and we're out of here.
Give that pig a treat.
And then
God, I thought that was big squealing there for a moment.
There's a new one. Never going to hear that the same way again, are we?
Nope. Right. I'm always going to laugh every time that sound comes on now.
Mm-hmm. California raisin things.
We already beat that horse today. Oh, now we're beating horses and feeding the pigs.
Oh, boy.
It's the pod. It's the Barnyard Podcast.
Guess what? PETA just called. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
What was it? People eat tasty animals or something?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Thank you, listener. Again, we will see you again on the podcast next week, if not sooner. Take care, everybody. Be safe. And Ben and Keith get to do the binary high five this time.
Yeah.
1-0-1.
There you go.
101? What?